sounds recorded on the 15th of December 1962, meeting as a friend.
Good evening, Sir Hyatt. Well, darling, I'm very well. I always like you to come, first of all. And at the end, if I can't have you talking. Best plan is to start the thing when
you
hear the voice.
I started that,
she was in that meeting. No, after meeting, because sometimes it takes so long. Doesn't it?
It's a spiritual thing. I was afraid I might miss something. I might be in a sort of trancy state and not get there quick enough.
Yes. You are right this time. I bow to your position.
Good evening, madame.
Good evening, sir. That's a nice, pleasant voice. How sweet. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. The voice may be unfamiliar.
Yeah.
But the personality is, I hope, not so unfamiliar. Although it is possible that you will not recognize, since it is on such a rare occasion that I come to speak with you. And yet, as you have been told by others, we are very much acquainted in the past. Indeed, as I speak to you at this moment, I find some difficulty in being able to impress with any certainty any particular part of my many selves. But at this moment, I wish perhaps not to impress so much myself in any one particular incarnation. So it is possibly as well that I am not thinking too closely or too much on any particular part of my earthly existence. But I have had many incarnations in which you and the medium have been very much a part.
Yes.
At one time, I was associated with you and the medium.
Medium?
In Egypt.
Oh.
And at another time, I was associated with you in Pompeii. On another occasion, we were associated when I was linked with the family of the Borgia. And on another occasion, when I was Cellini, Benvenuto Cellini, we were connected. And in my last incarnation, I presumably had no effect upon you whatsoever. But that is not surprising.
Why?
Since we did not meet in a physical or material sense, although my personality and some part or aspect of my true self and character no doubt was felt by many people, but it matters not that you do not have any feeling or any, shall we say, regard for myself in my last incarnation when I was Valentino. And you may be surprised that I should come and speak to you particularly tonight, but others have already opened the way in regard to your education and in regard to your development, in regard to this truth, and in regard to our associations, when we have all been very much linked together And particularly, I understand you have been told a great deal in regard to the association that we have together in Pompeii, when we were all very interested in the truth of survival and communication, and when we were often to meet in my house and also in your house, and also your whole family, who have been very much linked with mine in past times. Although you have not yet, I believe, been told anything about your connection with the family of the Borgia, neither have you been, I believe, told about your connection with Cellini, but I understand you have been told a great deal about your connections with Frédéric Chopin, who also, of course, was very much associated with us in previous incarnations. You have been told that we are linked together as, you might say, a group in many different ways at many different times, and that there are other souls, some of whom are still on the earth, who are associated. You may know in part of certain things that have already transpired at seances, and certain people such as Mrs. Archer and her husband and various other people, and also the one whom you referred to as Desir, or Gwendolyn, as we know how. You see, although your links are stronger with certain people, there are others, such as myself, who also are very closely linked. Although you do not have the realization of the strength of our association, it in a sense is not perhaps so important, because the links that you have with certain other people, which are much stronger for you, are very understandable to me, and I do not blame you, and I am quite unconcerned in a way that you should not be attracted to me in my last incarnation, in which I realize now with a fuller understanding was a part that I had to play so that I could reach many people who, through that interest in me, would perhaps gradually begin to seek into the truths of spiritual realization. In other words, because of that interest in me, they would begin to desire to know many things in regard to communication and life after death. And some of them have, of course, been able to find great comfort and have been able to find great understanding in consequence. When I was last on earth, I had a great interest in this subject. But then I realize now, which I did not fully realize then, that I was, of course, to some extent, asserting some aspect of my previous incarnations, and that I was, to some extent, reawakening the old psychic aspect of my nature. And I was very much able to receive not only for myself certain help, but also in some measure I was able to help others. But my last incarnation was a very important one, because in a sense it was symbolic, and it was a symbol of love. It was a symbol whereby many people would eventually be able to find for themselves a new way of life and a new happiness and a new realization of truth.
Yes.
We must try to remember and to realize that there may be occasions when, for some reason or other, we are not tremendously, shall we say, drawn or attracted to a certain person in a personal incarnation. And sometimes it is for a good purpose. Because if we were too strongly attracted or we were too much associated, it would, in a sense, and could be at times, a drawback in our individual progress and our individual way of serving. If you wish to cough, I will wait.
It's all right.
I do not want you to be disappointed.
I can hear you, I'm sorry, but do carry on. I don't understand what you mean by that, and I didn't give up quite right.
First, we must try to see this from this point of view. The instrument, because at one time he was my brother,
yes.
And now he is the instrument through which I and others have been able to serve and to help humanity. It is because of these associations and links that there is this natural attraction, there is this natural law which cannot be denied. For all of these things of which we have spoken, or which perhaps I should say to you, others have spoken in particular to you, are all due to natural spiritual law. Everything is subject to natural spiritual law. And nothing can be achieved, and nothing can be accomplished, and nothing can take place unless it is by natural spiritual law, which means fundamentally the law of love, the law of attraction. And I do not mean physical material attraction. I refer to the mental and spiritual attraction that is a natural thing that happens between a humanity of like mind and like outlook and like spiritual advancement. In other words, certain people are drawn and are attracted to one to the other in a high mental state, and it is this power that makes possible many of the things that we are able to achieve. For instance, I, in a sense, have been a controlling influence behind the instrument for many years, but it is only because we have built up together over many incarnations a bond of natural love, a natural understanding, and an affinity of purpose, and the directive behind all that we have endeavored and tried to do more recently is to be of service, to enlighten the minds of those whose minds are quite often, of course, on a very material level. But you see, we are very conscious of the fact that all of us are associated and are held together by a chain of many strengths,
yes,
individually linked together, forming a chain which in itself is so powerful. Each link, as you have been told previously, which you might say represents an individual, is bound to the other by the strength and the power of love, which has been forged over centuries of time. We have all gone through all manner and kinds of experiences. We have all suffered together, and sometimes because of each other, and because we have welded together by our personal interest and love, each one of us, we form a chain which nothing can break, in which we are all serving and playing a part in creating a strength which nothing in a sense could possibly assail or could possibly break. The present circumstances in which we all find ourselves, and that applies to every one of us, no matter how far developed we may individually be, and in some instances, certain persons, of course, who are perhaps not so advanced, who are yet on earth, and who have a part to play, and who are linked with us through past links and associations, each one of us are building a way or a path which others, we hope, will in consequence tread. It may influence that I hold, if I can so use a term, over still many, many people, is something which a lot of people cannot and do not understand. But I understand it completely, because those who were merely attracted in a physical sense and could see nothing else but the physical, material aspect of myself, in a sense, their regard and affection of a kind has fallen away. But those who remain are held not by just the physical and the material aspect of myself, or what they thought they saw in me, but by the mental and spiritual love, and that was a tremendous thing in itself. In other words, these souls who exist today on earth, and those on this side also, that have since come here and that are joined with us and joined with me in regard to my work, We are a group. Most of us, not all, but most of us are old souls. But those who are on the earth, who are still linked and drawn to me in that love, the true understanding and the realization of love in a spiritual manner and sense, who saw beneath the surface in myself and in my work, the real me, the old soul, the person who was, shall we say, one who had the ability to transmit something of a reality through something which was in a sense a shadow, to bring to people not just a material benefit or comfort for a moment of time, but to be able to instill and breed, as it were, within them something which was good, and to make them in consequence desire to know more of truth, and to be able to express this truth in loving service in various ways for humanity. These are the people to whom I cling particularly, and through whom I shall and I have at the moment endeavored to serve. The instrument I use is an old soul, as you know, and we were brothers in one incarnation, the Laity brothers, and we were so closely linked because we were twins. We were born almost at the same hour, and we were named the same. We were entwined in so many ways. There were great dissimilarities in our character, it is true, but there was much within us. We shared so much the same self. We were almost, shall we say, not just only twins, but we were fundamentally within ourselves very much the same spirit. It was not that we were not individuals, we were individuals because we had difference in temperament and outlook. And that was why, although you do not understand yet, quite, and you can fully understand, and I do not expect it that you shall understand, because you can only, in a sense, no matter how much you try, you can only associate your mind to adjust itself to certain aspects of the truth that we've tried to give to you. The full impact is too much, and one could not expect you to understand or realize it with such full intensity while still in the physical body. But at the same time, listen to myself, who have been so closely linked, not only in the incarnation of Pompeii, but in other incarnations. And though it is difficult to explain this to you, at the moment it is impossible for me to describe it to you, but when I was with a little Cellini, when I was so interested in, for instance, my last incarnation, in my work, in the films, I was very anxious to play Cellini. It was, in fact, it was already one of the characters that had already been decided that I should play. It was in my contract that I should eventually play Cellini. It was a character which had always interested and appealed to me. I did not know at the time, of course, when I was on Earth, that I had ever been Cellini. It was something that I just could not explain. There were certain characters in history that have always appealed to me. And when the opportunity was presented to me by my new film contract that I could choose certain characters to play, certain parts to play, I very much wanted to play Cellini, and I very much wanted to play Cesare Borgia. These were two characters that always seemed so strong in my mind, the people that I most wanted to know about, and I read a great deal about them. I studied their lives because I wanted to know all I could about them to get inside their characters, so that when the time came for me to portray these characters, I would be able to a great extent be those people. I would be able to lose my identity in them. But what struck me so forcibly was, the more I read about Cellini, the more I realized that Cellini and I were very much alike in our artistic selves, in our inner selves. And in regard to Cesare Borgia, I realized that the whole of the Borgia family had been very much maligned. They were not by any means the poisoners and the bad, disreputable characters that they were made out to be. It is true that there were certain aspects of the Borgia family that were unpleasant, but we must also try to put everything in this proper perspective. When we talk about the time of the Borgias, we must remember that this was a time of great upheaval, when no man was safe, when there was great rivalry between the various houses, when if a man was to retain his property or retain his position. He had to be as deceitful as the next man. He had to be as cunning as the next man. He had to be as useless as the next man. Yes. It was a time when the country was divided into many different sections, when there were many factions, when there were many place seekers. It was a difficult age, a dark age, and there were many deeds done that would probably not be done in another age, and the age in which one lives brings forth often the type of people that are befitting that age. The age breeds the man, and though I'm not trying to whitewash the Borgias or the family of the Borgias, and there were certain things which under the circumstances were understandable, and certainly much was brought to that door of discredit which for which they were not responsible. But as I say, I'm not trying to whitewash them, I'm trying to explain that there was much that I realized when I was last on earth that I felt I wanted to interpret. I wanted to bring life and reality to the screen in these characters, and I felt that I could have played them very well. But I now know the reason why I felt so firmly convinced I could play these characters was that I had been those people. I now know that not only in those ages was I responsible for many things which, of course, as one progresses, one regrets, but also that one learns, and I certainly had to learn many things, and often I had to make many mistakes, as indeed do we all. For instance, your friend, Frédéric Chopin, whom I know very well, who is a very great friend of mine, whose work I admire tremendously, who is indeed a very great artist. In fact, no finer artist could possibly exist in his field of work. But the point is that he is himself a member, not only of our group, but he is a member of our family inasmuch that he has been associated with all of us at different times. And as you know, you have been told that you and he have been closely associated, and so have you been closely associated with me, particularly when I was one of the brothers left, and you were very much attracted to me, but it was not to develop into anything for various reasons. You were too devoted to your brother, and also you were devoted to your brother's children. Eventually you sacrificed your life for the children, but this is another story which one day no doubt will be told you by the proper person who is best able to tell it. And as regard to Faras, and as regard to Lucius, and in regard to Dacia, and in regard to many of the other people that you've already heard about, you learn much. But I want you to know that although you have not been attracted to me as an individual, that is, that you have heard about me from my last incarnation, that is unimportant.
Why it is so, since I've heard about Pompey and the Getty brothers, and we were so connected with each other, I wonder why it was that I wasn't very attracted to you.
You mean why you were not attracted to me?
Why I wasn't.
In this last incarnation?
Yes. There must be some reason, I suppose.
No, I don't think so, because I think that there is a reason, yes. What I'm trying to say to you is that, firstly, I don't think that there is anything strange in this that you should not be attracted to me. Because, firstly, although as an individual you have great regard and respect for artists of all kinds, you have never been very much attracted or interested in films, particularly the films, the type of films in which I played and which were silent. I think to you, you see, in this incarnation, to you, there is something much more important than visual things, and that is sound.
Yes.
Sound is much more you, much more important to you.
Yes.
You are much more interested, shall we say, in the sound that comes from music, the piano or the violin or the cello or the sound of a person's voice. You are not perhaps so attracted facially to a person. You are more attracted to the personality of a person. And possibly a few times that you may have seen me in films, for some reason or other, you were not particularly interested in the particular film, and you were probably not particularly interested in myself, because there are some people like that indeed to whom I do not appeal. But that does not alter the fact that you yourself, as I understand you and as I know you, would not necessarily see in me what you would see when you were last on earth in me when we were together. And I do not mean Pompeii, I mean what was in it. Because I was one who was associated, though only slightly, with you and Frédéric Chopin in Paris. You know, my mother was born in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother's parents were born, but moved to Paris at the time of Chopin. My great-grandparents, who were French, often attended recitals of Frédéric Chopin and other great musicians, because my great-grandmother was very interested in all forms of art and in music in particular, and it is quite natural that this link, which was perhaps only a slight one, which was forged not so long ago, was one which we have for a brief time. You see, I was a young man at the same time as Frédéric Chopin was a young man.
Yes.
And I was born into the same family twice. And I was myself an artist in Paris at the same time that Frédéric Chopin was having such a success in Paris. And I attended with my relations some of his soirees and some of his concerts. And because although we were not a wealthy family, we had a good background and good name. And we often were invited to houses of eminent people when they sometimes would have various people along to entertain and sometimes to play the piano, which was one of the favorite things, of course, and sometimes great singers would come also. But I remember various occasions listening to Frédéric Chopin and speaking with him. We were not great friends, we were not greatly associated. But you see, Frédéric Chopin sometimes also attended little at homes, as perhaps you would call them, or perhaps you would call them parties. But anyway, he would attend sometimes gatherings in the homes of other artists, which were not great salons or anything of that nature, but sometimes or merely more as attics. But I knew George Sand, and I knew Maurice, and I knew many of the people associated with Frédéric Chopin, and I knew you slightly, but only by sight. I did not know you personally. I don't think I ever spoke to you. I do not recollect ever having spoken to you. But of course, I did speak to Frédéric Chopin on many occasions, and we were not great friends, but we would sometimes meet at other artists' houses and sometimes have a few words. And you see, the links which bring us all together are extraordinary. I can quite appreciate that as you are at the moment, trying to piece this tremendous thing together, finding certain difficulties, but gradually beginning to see something come looming into the horizon which makes things a little brighter and a little clearer. But do not be disturbed for him's sake in your mind that you do not feel any personal attraction towards me, because that is completely and absolutely unimportant. What is important is that as far as I am concerned, I have been and am still being instrumental in doing my part in the scheme of this work by this instrument's development and the utilization of his power that links up with all of us, making it possible for the others also to manifest through him, to speak to you, to speak to other people. Of course, there are certain aspects of all this truth which give great concern to all of us, and that is when sometimes through no fault of ours, certain individuals on your side try to, shall we say, put some claim to which in a sense they are not entitled upon any particular person or any one of us. I think what we must all remember and all realize is that when we are all bound together by such ties of love and the various incarnations in which we have all been so linked together, no matter how strong these links, these ties that bind us, we must never assume, because of these things, that any one of us has, in any sense, any power over the other. The one thing which you probably know, where some of our other friends perhaps do not yet fully understand, is that we are all together working in complete love and in complete harmony, in service, in some form or other. Some are doing one thing and some are doing something else, but all are serving. But no one individual, whether that individual is on this side or that individual is on your side, has any prior claim or any power, shall we say, of any nature whatsoever. You understand that, but there are certain people on your side of life, particularly, who sometimes cause me in particular a little concern, because they are good people, and they are people that are linked with us in love and in this work, but they must not assume that there is any, shall we say, power that they may have, or any right that they may feel that they have, to claim above others the love and affection of another.
Yes.
You see, when we have progressed, and we have all progressed, but when we have truly progressed and assimilated this knowledge and this truth and understood it, we cease then to desire that any one person should become, in a sense, a personal right or personal property, or that we have a greater claim upon that person's time or that person's affection. You see, we learn first of all, possibly, in our development, the true love and true understanding and appreciation of love, the realization of love, is to forget oneself.
Yes.
And to give all that one has to give and all that one may be able to give in love and in service. You see, we do not and must not claim that any particular thing apart from a person is ours. The person who has progressed renounces everything, and in renunciation we find the truth and the happiness that can only truly come from renunciation. That does not mean to say that we must not admire someone, or perhaps we should say admire their ability or their artistry. And when we admire their greatness, their true artistry, we are in a sense admiring the real fundamental power of the personality of the individual. We must accept completely and absolutely that every soul is an instrument. It is difficult to explain perhaps certain aspects of truth to people, but when you truly love a person, you realize that all the saints, although you love them for their faults, that is, as you see them in a material sense on earth particularly, you must accept that person and you must say, well, I love this person, they have this or that fault. And one's inclined, shall we say, to regret these things, but at the same time to accept them. But the point is that to learn to love a person, truly love a person, is to see them as they completely and absolutely are in every facet of their nature, and to realize that there is room, no doubt, for many changes, many forms of progression, which will eventually evolve and come about. But what is important is to see the power of the Spirit working through each individual, struggling, bursting its bonds, trying to push open the door, as it were, to the illumination of the Spirit. We love a person, but we must remember that what we are loving is the Spirit that animates all life, that makes possible all things. The physical outline or the physical shape, which is human and natural, particularly to admire. Person may be admired for their beauty, but we all know that beauty passes. The face becomes lined with age and sorrow and trouble, and the body becomes infirm and incapable. But what remains and what is improved with age is the beauty of the Spirit, the bursting of the bonds of the flesh. Though the flesh has become weakened, the power of the Spirit has become strengthened. And the beauty that is there is within the inner soul of the person. It does not shine through the eyes and gives light and illumination, even though the eyes are old and aged and tired and weary. They have seen great sorrow and great suffering. But the beauty that shines through of the Spirit This is the thing that lasts. This is the part of us that matters. It is this part of us that we must always realize and remember is vital and important. It is indeed this very part of us, this eternal youth, this eternal spirit that has burst its bonds, that may have gone through many incarnations, who lived many lives and had many experiences, suffered greatly and sinned greatly, as the world knows and understands sin. But the point is that through all these things, we have gradually built up and unfolded that which is good of ourselves. The spirit has gained its freedom, and it is this freedom of love and spirit that means so much, that is so vital and important. Therefore we have no right to feel that we are, as it were, bound in the sense that this person belongs to us. If we are bound by this wonderful spirit, by this wonderful power of love, it is a universal spirit and a universal love. We have broken the chains, we have broken the bonds that bind us, which are all these varying bodies, which to some extent, though they have served their purpose, they have finished their use, and we have discarded them. Now we are free of these things. We are free in the sense of the earth, but we return to the earth, and not to reach the earth as such, not to reach in a sense the bodies as such, but to reach the minds and the spirits that are linked with us, that are part of us, because it is the only part of the peoples of the earth that we can reach. We cannot reach our bodies. We are not, in a sense, interested in the body or the physical aspect. If we can help in that way, we will do so. But what is important, we are reaching out to the minds of humanity. We are trying to tune in our spirit to the spirit of humanity. We are trying to break the bonds that keep the earth and its people down, which are chaining them to material things. We are trying to help those in your world whose need is so great, by appealing to their minds, by appealing to their intelligence, which comes from the spirit, the true spiritual realization and intelligence, which is everybody's birthright. Everyone is born with the power of the spirit within them. We are trying to reach that power, to link up with it. That is why you are being told all these things, why so many of us are trying so desperately hard to reach out to various people, whom we feel in turn will be able to help so many others. If you do not feel drawn to me in my last incarnation, that is unimportant. It does not really matter at all. You were drawn to me when I was one of the Betty brothers. You were drawn to me when I was Cellini. And you were drawn to me at other times in a sense of love which is not physical or material, but purely mental and spiritual. And as you were drawn to me, you were more drawn perhaps to others. But it matters not, for it is all the same power of goodness and love. We are content on this side to come from time to time to try to give you and others through you and others too that will listen, whenever it is possible, to truth. We're trying to do all in our power. We must be patient with ourselves, because I think we must learn, even we must learn, as you have to learn patience. It is not always possible. There are times when I cannot come and speak to even people I would like to speak to. There are times when I can only say certain things which are on a certain level, which the conditions prevalent at that time will only permit me to say. We are to some extent bound by and confined by the very conditions around and about your plane. I mean, for instance, when the medium gives a sitting, as you call it, and the people come, I would like to reach these people, but I can only reach them on a certain level, according to their minds. It is why it is a great joy for me to come here tonight to speak to you. I may not often come and speak to you, because I feel there are others whose links perhaps are stronger, and write this song with you, but occasionally I would like to come, because I feel perhaps I can fill in and fill the gaps that they may leave unfilled. They may tell you certain things which would be of great interest and great import to you, but I may be able to fill in a few little places here and there. You know, the artist who paints a portrait, sometimes he paints some wide strokes,
yes.
And the detail is lost. And sometimes an artist paints with great power, with small brush strokes, and he fills in all the little shadows and all the little lights. I'd like to be able to fit in the places where perhaps some of the others don't, you know. Anyway, we shall see. But I will come and talk to you again. I'm afraid I cannot stay right now. But we will continue, and others will see us, and Frederick Chopin, your great friend, and others will come and talk to you about these things. But I must go now. I hope I have not been too long.
Well, I'm so glad that you came.
And don't please don't worry that you are not interested in my pictures. I got rather fed up with them myself. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bless you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Mickey.
Surprise.